Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Rob Sheridan, Andrew Bushell, Quentin Walker, Dylan Parkhurst, Linda Jean, Neon Grey, Holly Aitchinson, Andrea Rourke, Bat Momar, John Dondero. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 89 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Grizzop Trick Act Amsterdam.
Hamidsullah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sasha Who's Asking Racket.
And Azu.
And we're all agreed, okay? No more.
No more emotional trauma,
now
Alex.
Now time for the funeral.
Oh, I cannot guarantee there'll be no more.
Guys, maybe it'll be fine. Maybe the funeral will be attacked.
Yay!
And we can have fun beating something to death.
Venting. Venting, I believe the word is. So, I'm going to take this and then make it very, very straightforward. Hamid's sister died. You are all attending the funeral in Cairo. I believe that's basically the entire campaign to this point.
I mean, there are some feelings flying around, but that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. With that in mind, then...
It's a feel storm.
If it's okay with everyone, I'd like to do something we haven't done before, which is basically a sort of montage-y intro, because jumping in at first thing in the morning, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., like, I can't be doing with that. So what I am going to do is I am going to say that the funeral is in the afternoon, and I am going to go round each of you, and I just want a snapshot of what you are up to, and we will just go round a couple of times, and then it's a funeral, all right? With that in mind, I'd like to open with Hamid. Give me a snapshot of what you are doing in the run-up to the funeral.
I am helping everyone else with their outfits, because I'm bringing three people to my funeral, and I want to make sure that they are all appropriately dressed. Now, the good news is that I'm in my own house where I grew up, and I probably have a decent suit for myself, so I can lend my magical sleeves to one of them. I can probably lend a set of clothing to Grizzop. We're not that different in size, or I can find something in the house. And we also picked up in Newton's vault a version of another magical piece of clothing that can look like basically anything you want.
Hat of disguise.
No, I was thinking of the robes of any something. I've got them written down.
I mean, Sasha's got a lot of disguise, so she could disguise as a posho. And a lot of dark.
I take a pair of curtains go disappearing. Suddenly, Sasha looks really well dressed.
Yeah.
We've got living garments.
Ah, you have living garments.
Yes, so we've got the living garments, we've got the sleeves of many something.
And garments, probably.
Sleeves of many garments.
And the hat of disguise.
And the hat of disguise. Which that can't change your clothing, the hat of disguise. And we've got, you know, lots of options in terms of small, as in the official D&D terms.
So you're helping
terms,
people with their outfits. Mm-hmm. Okay. Grizzle.
So I woke up early and polished everything and completely sorted my outfit out. And I walk out feeling very, very like, I'm trying, I'm very well turned out. And then Hamid tries to redress me and I immediately deflate.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, if you're already wearing something appropriate...
Oh, no, I'm wearing my, like, outdoor clothes, but I've cleaned them and sewn them up, like, done a bit of tailoring.
He's wearing shiny huntsman's garb instead of mucky huntsman's garb.
And it's all, you know, properly straightened and stuff. With more care than it normally
is. The effort probably is not appreciated because Hamid has spent his whole life doing prestidigitation.
Yeah.
No.
Having servants.
He's only been able to do prestidigitation for about a year.
Right.
Before that, he just had to do it the hard way.
Get a servant to do it for him.
Before that, he had so many servants that they probably fixed things before he noticed.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, there's this weird trend where the more magical ability he got, right, the more mucky everything was. Like, until then, things were just clean anyway. Yeah. It must be a side effect of learning magic. Dirt. Sasha, what are you up to?
I assume that I have to roll a fort thing to see whether I wake up covered in blood.
Yes, you do. Happened. Yes, you do.
So she is going to... I assume that she would want to wake up early, because that's what she's been doing often to get healed.
You do
get
not
healed.
Get that option. You've
but
never
so
had orcish liquor before.
Yeah, that's the point. That was it. So she'd intended to, but she... See, jumping the gun as well.
Yeah, annoying. In it. Really annoying.
A bunch of gun jumpers.
It'd be nice that we all think... Not necessarily similarly, but we can understand each other's intentions enough to see where we're... It's fine. Anyway, is she bloody? Ooh, okay, so she got a 6+3, so she's only got a 9 in fort.
A 9 in fort?
No.
You wake up bloodied.
Yeah. So, but also late, I assume.
Yes.
And
you wake up to, you know what, I'm going to jump in. You wake up to Hamid gently and tastefully knocking on the door because he really probably does need to check that you're not going to go out wearing 17 knives visibly.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't be visible.
my bad. That's a faux pas.
Okay,
on my part.
So this is genuinely quite... Well, she would try and hide it, but this would be one of the first times that she's been caught unaware by anyone in the party. So she'd open the door and you would see for the first time what she looks like... Like, literally, like, blood.
First thing in the morning.
Could she be in the light shirt?
She looks clearly undead. Not like zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a gaunt aspect to her, which has been developing over recent times. Her clothing is bloodied. She looks like she's been injured slightly in the night. It's actually just old cuts and things. Like, she looks...
I mean, she's got the mortuary scar down her chest.
She looks tangibly
and, like,
awful.
You can see, basically, there's a blood hawk on the back of her because there's those scars are opening up.
Blood falcon.
Oh,
blood
falcon. Sasha, how are you feeling? What can I just help?
Awkward smile.
I don't know anymore, do I? And I suppose just wait for me to pass away quietly.
No.
Wash the blood off. Don't worry, I won't bother everyone. Just turns around and shuts the door.
Oh.
I assume there's an ensuite.
Of course. which one?
Yeah. So, it gently tries to daub all the blood.
Azu, you're up.
Well, before Hamid comes to try and clothe my 6'6" frame, she got up early and she's been doing her... What's the proper word? Calisthenics?
I want to
be doing it with those two servants we made friends with, so I've got like one on each ankle while I'm doing my sit-up. I'm lifting them like dumbbells.
They're all over this. Even Captain Uptight
is
starting to lose
them.
They're just like, yeah, you know what?
And the one that didn't drink a bit. There was so much alcohol in the air.
Yeah. It's just the fumes.
But they're being hospitable to their guest. So.
You know what? You said that it would make you comfortable.
It did.
Is there anything we can do to help? Well, actually.
How heavy are you? Okay, Hamid, background to you. This is your last montage appearance as in control of yourselves before we skip to the funeral.
Once I'm satisfied everyone is at least semi-appropriately dressed, I will probably spend the morning going through some mementos of my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just reminding myself of some memories of some of the good times. I probably have a program of, like, a... appearance she made at an opera in London, which I got down to while I was at university, or something like that. And yeah, just gentle
reminders.
Give me
a perception check. Mid montage.
Loads. specifically 25.
Sayre is there, and you notice her quietly and deftly put aside a flyer for the show that she died in a drawer so that no one else can see it. She thinks you got away with it and that you didn't see.
I will not draw attention to it.
Grizzop, you're up.
So I've been dressed now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go see if I can find Sasha.
Okay. That leads very easily into Sasha, your montage. It has to involve Grizzop in some way.
Yeah, well, I suppose she's come out of the room and now she'd actually need to find... What I would assume is that she'd go and... clean up and then realise all her clothes are still bloodied.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, and so then, wrapped in the cloak, she asks a servant to get her Hamid, and then I assume it gets like the sleeves or the...
You probably the robe of many garments.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, would get that and have that, and maybe it would be something which had a hat which covered her face.
So the living garment.
Oh,
yeah. So you get the...
Is the fact that it's living and I'm not going to be a problem?
No, it's not literally living.
So,
all of us are.
The living garment's something that I think you might take a bit of a shine to. It doesn't just magically change into any garment that he wants. What it does is it basically reads the user and what the user's kind of needs are and adjusts itself accordingly.
Oh, my word. But Sasha's needs are deep and complex. Does it provide a stable family? sight of the open sky before she's 15.
It certainly gives the impression that you had both of these things. You'd be amazed what this suit can manage.
Yeah, she suddenly feels like she has a life expectancy of more than 3 weeks.
Grizzop, you come to Sasha looking... extremely well dressed, probably the best from a standard eye, the best dressed that she's looked maybe since you've met her.
Oh, hey, Sasha, do you mind if we have a quick chat?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm sorry about what I said yesterday. It's a bit of a sore subject for me, and Azu got my hackles up with, you know, but yes, you've been through something really shocking, and yeah, like, I've had a long time to come to terms with this. You've had all of yesterday. And
I never really expected to live that long. It's not really traditional in my line of work, but a month is pretty short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well.
But look, you've got people who want to keep you alive, so we'll do our best.
I mean, that is where there would be, like, that would be the most bitter laugh. Like, a person that has been used as a tool for, like, so...
It's now a valued tool.
Yeah, people want to keep you alive. This is very... It would not be... But she'd be too awkward to say anything.
I'm
going to jump from that. Yeah. This is just snapshots and nothing more, to Azu.
Okay.
This is the last sort of montage-y thing before we just jump to funeral.
Makes sense.
Have you managed to find me, Hamid? Because I'm just in the garden.
Yeah, yeah. There's servants everywhere. I'll ask a servant where you are.
Okay. Have you brought me clothes?
So I'm
because I am still pink.
I'm going to lend you my sleeve of many garments.
Okay.
My sleeves of many garments, which you basically put on, and some clothing that you want appears on you. Now, you know, the two paladins can wear, like, you know, it's a funeral, and much like if you're in a military organisation,
yeah, dress armour and dress clothing armor,
like,
is
fine. So we don't have to obscure your armour, but it's about what you wear, like, but
that's
no.
really handy. The Artemis armour is also your dress armour.
Yeah, exactly.
Just whenever.
For Artemis, there's literally no difference.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
Yeah, so but it's what you're wearing under it. I've adjusted slightly, basically. Oh, sure, yeah. And for like, because the colour is so garish, like, we'd probably find a way. We'd probably find a way to mute it,
or maybe like a black vestment that can sort of go in addition, like a black tabard or something.
Yeah, well, like a black, or even just like a black chiffon that so it, you can see through it enough.
Sure,
but it no longer glows.
Do I have a veil?
If you want one.
Oh, he doesn't get to pick what you look like.
Yeah,
with these garments, you pick what you look.
But
like.
I am.
You are discussing it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to. And I'm saying, you know...
Trying not to say things like, garish.
Yeah. Your armor is very bright and it wouldn't be completely appropriate. So if we can...
So if we can
put something, even something, you know, see-through over it, that just mutes...
You want me to wear something see-through?
Mutes the colour over the armor. And then... it's totally your choice. I just, you know, black is the most appropriate colour, and the pink is just very bright.
Let me have a try.
And then I'll hand you
and
the
what
sleeves.
What does your try look like? This is you closing on your montage.
I think there is a veil, but because she has a shaved head, it's like, it just looks weird. It looks like...
You look like a ghost.
I look like the woman in black.
And with that, we jump to the funeral. So.
This is a duvet ghost.
And I'm so big.
So, you all find yourselves at a rise. You can't really go so far as to say, like, a major hill or anything, but it is a rise, and it's overlooking the river. And the close friends and family are in an arc around a wrapped and veiled, presumably Hamid's sister, obviously, is upon a sort of a raised plinth that will lower into the ground. And it's actually in a sort of field of flowers. And it becomes clear that, like, actually, like, there are sort of tasteful little tombstones, but it's very much it's not a demarcated thing. It's a little bit more informal, which may not gel necessarily with the structure of Hamid's life that you've seen up to this point. And whilst the close friends and family are very much up close, at a significant distance, so outside but very much looking in, are a huge crowd of the public, sort of down at almost street level, sort of looking in. It's at no point does it go into like ogling. It's not completely crass, but they were a major personality in their own field, plus like there's so much public attention on the family that it isn't really going to go unnoticed. And
Probably in a break from the usual funereal traditions, there will be music.
Of course.
You know, because there might be some of her, close colleagues singing some of her favourite pieces.
In fact, I'd say that Sayera sings her favourite song. It's not
She's not professional level, but she's
not the professional level.
Good.
But she's good. She's alright. And the funeral progresses. I'm not going to run through the whole thing. Obviously, it will take ages. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think I could handle it tastefully enough because it's not my forte. However, can I please get a perception check from everyone?
All right, let's have a look.
And before Ben complains, this is one where if no one notices, no, it's completely fine.
Natural 20.
I hate you.
Yeah.
It's the dice.
I'm clearly not paying very much attention because I rolled a 4, so 15.
All is as it should be.
So I can do the maths. I honestly can, because it's a 10. So that's easy. 10 plus 12 is 22.
Yep.
I got a 6. A 6 is
10. Okay.
Oh, do you want the raw score? Is it useful?
No. So, Grizzop and Sasha. So, the actual ceremony's continuing. The body is begun to be lowered in. And the family are sort of having a few quiet words and so on. But you both cannot help noticing. There's the friends and their family that are right up close, and you are amongst them. And then there is the public, who are very, very, very far away. And there are a few trees in this area. It's not just a meadow and nothing else. But you do notice there is a single figure who is sort of halfway between the two, beside one of the trees, rather than either with the public or with the family. And they're very much paying their attention towards the ceremony. They are cowled. And that's basically all it is. There's enough sort of long grass and the occasional tree that...
Halfling height or human height or orc height?
Tall human height. Mm. But they don't have the heftiness that you'd expect for it to be an orc. Mm. And they are very much observing, and it's very clear that they're trying to appear unnoticed, should we say. And Grizzup, from you specifically... you would go out on a limb and say that if they are human, they are extremely unusual. Their build is wrong, even with a cowl.
Do they?
Although not in the character's knowledge. Do they perhaps look like some sort of
creature,
dementor-looking
person? We might
have
seen.
I mean, here's the thing, Grizzop. I mean,
underground.
You know, the world's made up of all kinds of. It's definitely the person, Sasha. It's definitely whatever or whoever that was.
Yeah. Do we? And this is a question, actually. Are weapons, like, appropriate, permitted, specifically not permitted?
No, they are not permitted, but we all have bags of holding. And a bag of holding can be sitting, you know, can be...
Oh, on a belt.
Yeah, and can be, you know, incorporated tastefully into an outfit.
I mean, you'll be having type 2, so it's more like a sack, but you could put that into, like, a backpack or something similar and make it look like a satchel or something similar.
Sasha, out of respect, has only brought, say, 4 knives and hidden them really...
Tastefully.
Around the body.
Well, I've got my stuff, but it's in like a bag. Sure. It looks like, you know,
they don't appear to be doing anything, just watching, but they are very much clearly removed from everything else.
While the ceremony is going on, I'm going to look around. Notice you looking at the thing as well, I'm going...
Like, Sasha has... It's hard to tell that she's gone paler, because gradually, without you really noticing, she's got paler and paler and paler every day. But... somehow she seems even paler.
Nudge you.
Do you know that guy? That's really not good news. That's not good news. We should get away from here.
Well, should we go deal with it?
Just Grizzop and Sasha.
I don't know if we
can you give me a secondary perception check? I know I'm doing a lot of these.
Another nat 20.
Grizzop's on it today.
4, but with 12, that is 16.
Sasha doesn't notice. Grizzop, you do. Hamid's older brothers notice this and starts to go to pieces and basically tries to pass it off as if it's to do with the funeral. And then he's very much not looking at the person. No one else noticed that.
It looks like Hamid's brothers noticed. He's got... because he was the parrot thing, right?
All right. Right, okay. So that... There's some bad news. Yes. Right, there's this...
is that to do with parrot?
Yeah, so I think... that this has gotten even worse. Okay, right.
What are you two talking about?
there's an underground criminal network that I always knew was far too powerful.
Hamid, give me a perception check.
And they've reached even here. They've reached us here.
18.
Friends are talking during the service.
I will turn around and just go, later, please.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Right.
Okay.
Let's keep an eye on it, and then we'll, you know, an eye on what? Just don't worry about it.
The ceremony continues, and Hamid's sister, Aziza, is laid to rest. The ceremony involves everyone putting a small amount of dirt on the grave who knew her, and then a number of flowers are the last thing, so rather than just them being popped in, they're actually sort of... the closest family plant a single flower that will sprawl over the time. And then everyone starts heading their separate ways, the public start moving on. Your father, Saleh, immediately turns and heads off. He's been completely stone-faced the entire time. Your mother lingers and then is eventually led away by Sayira. Saleh leaves with your father, basically at the soonest opportunity, and your two brothers, Ishmael and Ishak, both of who were brought up in the morning, are effectively with the mother. So the majority of your family head over as a sort of unit.
How old are they? Everyone's been referring to them as children.
So they're actually teenagers. They're 14 or 15, but halflings mature slower.
Right.
So
they probably look to your eyes like they're like 11 or 12-ish equivalent.
But think of them as a mature 12 or an immature 16. It kind of it falls between those two, really.
Well, so halflings reach adulthood at like 30, right?
They don't match up properly. So they tend to hit adulthood at a similar time to humans, but they stay in it a really, really long time.
Oh, okay. You're considered of age at 30, but that's more like the human equivalent of 21, 25, kind of.
So, yeah, everyone starts heading off, and you all find yourselves, for whatever reason, clumped together.
What's going on with the Dementor-looking chap?
The ceremony finished, and
Sasha did not take her eyes off.
Yeah,
to the point that it would have looked weird if she was expected to put soil there, she would have been craning around and freaking out if someone got between her and.
Once Saleh headed off, the figure stepped behind a tree hidden from all of your view. And it's very clear that they haven't walked off, they have gone.
Sasha runs towards the tree.
I'll kind of sidle after her. going to come on, to Azu.
Azu still doesn't really know what's going on, but you and her new friends, so she will follow.
Everyone's running off in a random direction.
Well, is this the point of the... I mean, everyone's going away.
The rest of the service has dispersed, so I'm fine. I trust my friends enough to assume there is a good reason for this. I just didn't want it to interrupt the ceremony.
Of course.
So I will linger slightly just to make sure everyone else who is at the funeral has started to disperse, and then follow them.
Sure.
I sort of realise how nice it is to have a set of characters where, while there may be awkward misunderstandings, there's not the guarantee of awfulness. Bertie's smashing through and making everyone... Yeah.
Yeah.
Just pleasant people.
Okay.
Right.
So,
wonderful.
You head over to the tree, and...
Predictably.
Yes. A pair of footprints are there, but not a figure.
If only I were better at survival.
So you can track them vertically. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sasha doesn't literally look in the tree.
There's nothing in the tree.
She's fought enough people that can splay out on ceilings.
The footprints are weird. They are... it's not like a very clear six-footed footprint. No, it's not that. But it is... It has more of a depression, like a bowl to it, almost, rather than a flat
pair
of footprints.
It's like the thing didn't have legs. It just kind of ended.
Yeah, that's the best way of putting it.
These are extremely strange tracks.
Yeah, what on earth was that?
It is...
Hamid rocks up, obviously.
They were...
What did you see? I'm sorry I had to interrupt you earlier. What's going on?
Barrett seems to have sent people here.
There was a spooky hooded figure.
Is it the same one we met, Sasha?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What? He might have hundreds of them.
Also...
Oh, God.
Your brother noticed... And it disappeared when your brother left. So, you know, you've got the whole ring delivery thing.
Yeah.
We might want to go and see if he's okay.
I think we need to. Even if he is, we need to have a pretty frank conversation with him at the very least.
Sure.
But the first thing is to make sure he's safe.
Oh, yeah. And also, how are you doing?
I feel better, if anything. That in the end, seeing my family, seeing my sister, seeing the twins and the ceremony. It was lovely. It has really helped. I feel better than I have since it first happened, if anything. So, yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's go.
Best to keep busy, though. So
let's go sort out your brother.
Make sure he's safe.
Yeah.
And we'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome back. So, if everyone's okay, I'm going to sort of skim past some stuff because there's so many moving parts here and so on. Suffice it to say, Saleh is fine. He returned to a mundane carriage with Hamid's father. The rest of the family came in. Hamid was invited to join. It was very clear that, to your eyes, yeah, Saleh clearly had been spooked, but he seemed fine. No one that appears to be, like, loitering and anything like that. So if you have any extra investigations you want to do, that's fine. Otherwise, I will sort of proceed to the wake.
Yeah, we'll follow their carriage to the wake in our own, and we can just take him aside at some point if he's still compos mentis.
So you head back to the house.
Oh, I don't say compos mentis. That's Latin. Latin is bad.
Latin bad.
We'll just take him aside if he's still coherent.
as Barrett said, anything else to you?
No.
Do you have any idea what this is? I mean, do you know what he's planning?
Well, my sister has said that Saleh has fallen in with a bad crowd and possibly has racked up some gambling debts, and I imagine that's related.
Right, okay.
Something our family is a bit prone to, I'm afraid to say. It's not the wouldn't be the first scion of the Tahan branch to...
But don't you... I mean, you've got that house. Could you not pay off the debts? What kind of debt could he have that you couldn't pay off?
That's a good question. I don't know how much my parents have helped him, but I mean, he's not lacking in resources, but much like me, he doesn't exactly have, you know, the access to the wealth of the entire family.
I suppose I don't understand how it works. Right. I suppose we just need to be aware he might see the opportunity to make an example.
We'll keep an eye on Saleh, and we'll see what he knows about the situation if we can.
All right. Well, you know, we've got to make sure that he's safe, but we...
Absolutely.
Yes, we must protect him.
But we have other matters as well.
I say, looking at Sasha.
Several, yes. Don't worry.
Probably might want to go see a, you know, meritocrat at some point.
So Sire is still the best avenue we have there, but I think even if we talk to her tomorrow morning, that will be soon enough, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. 28 days, 29, 30, I don't know what you mean by about a month.
We're working as quick as we can.
Yeah.
So is everyone okay with me to skip ahead a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 28 days later.
You're in the same cemetery.
But really we respect his craft.
So, we will...
My zombie stats. She's less
it's
fast
just,
now.
No, Sasha's finally got all of that charisma she was denied in life. It's Thriller. Behind. Everyone's just having a great time. So we are going to skip ahead to the wake. Mm. You all returned home and went to your were allowed to head off to your separate bedroom. Saleh immediately disappeared. If you'd like to engage with him now, that's fine. Otherwise, I will just accelerate to the wake. It's up to you.
I say to everyone else that I'd like one of us to be near him at all times, but feel free to change if you want. There's no conventions about what to wear to the wake. You can...
I would love to follow your brother everywhere.
At a discreet distance, Hamid says.
How discreet is that possible with the... Yeah.
Well, I think it would be more discreet if we took turns, though.
Oh. Well, you could go first.
I mean, I'll need my sleeves back as well, if that's okay, now that we've had the ceremony.
As it removes the sleeves, and immediately... It is like a second sun. A pink second sun.
Look, you'll go down well at the wake. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, who are you looking out for Saleh first?
I would like to, yeah.
Sure.
Just because I think it'll be funny if he's still drinking.
Are you... So he immediately returns to his room.
Okay.
And slams the door. Are you going to linger outside? Are you going to try and go in? That's what I need to know.
How farcical do you want this to be?
Pum, 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 pum. A corridor full of doors. As he goes past, then it's the camels just going past in the direction.
So Azu is tactless, but she's not stupid. So she's going to like linger at the end of the corridor, mm-hmm. I guess, and look, try and be unobtrusive and fail at that.
He doesn't head out at any point, but you do hear him crying. However, like, shocker. Beyond that, nothing of note really happens.
Okay.
The rest of you take watches, unless you actively say no.
So there's a specific...
I mean, there's only a couple of hours before the wake starts.
Sasha would wait outside to cover the window. She'd ask Hamid what the outside window is and hide.
Nice, yeah.
Wherever the like, so she would be then hidden behind, like in whatever foliage. Although she is not expert at hiding in non-urban.
Are you still wearing the living garments? Because they can become camouflage.
Yes. No, they can't.
Oh, can't.
They explicitly only modify style. They do not modify themselves in that way.
No. She looks like a gardener.
Yeah,
that you could do. You could get it kind of looking vaguely overall-y.
Yeah. Technically, the only skill they can boost is diplomacy. Not disguise, but you could have the hat of disguise as well.
In which case, she would probably take the cloak off and move in the stuff that she's used to.
Yeah. Sure.
So, yeah.
In which case, then you are outside, and we'll skip ahead to obviously the ceremony happened probably afternoon or like around midday, something like that. As it's turning into the equivalent of a sort of summer's evening, more or less, and you're around as the preparations are being set up, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like they've really gone to town in terms of the actual like wake itself is huge. It's also very bright. It's not lots of black. It's very bright. Yeah. They do lots of like paper like magic lanterns, but they aren't strung up. They just move around magically, and it's very like bright and lots of food.
Very
and stuff.
Different to the ceremony.
And there's quite a lot.
Food plays a big role.
There are quite a lot of like portraits of Hamid's sister, but they're all of her like. Really brightly shining, really, really happy, and it's very has a very different vibe to everything up to this point. Give me a perception check.
All of us?
No, just Sasha.
9 plus 12.
21.
Yes, thank you.
You do, at the edge of the preparations, see the same figure is loitering near, it looks to be some kind of like crates or something that have been deposited and are being slowly distributed it and containing like ice sculptures or that kind of thing.
She grabs the team and goes towards him. Like,
so the team.
Whoever she can actually access.
So you can definitely grab Grizzop and Azu, who are, yeah, like you said, patrolling outside or that kind of thing. And if Hamid's inside, you're probably not going to be able to run, grab him, and run back out in time.
She will, I assume, maybe grab. But this will be incredibly discreet. She wants to run around the back of the guy and stab him in the back.
Give me a stealth check.
Yeah. 18 plus 13 plus 5.
Wow.
That's fine.
So
Grizzop, 36.
Grizzop, also give me a stealth check. Are you grabbing Azu as well or just Grizzop?
Just Grizzop. Okay. Because he's the one I can easily find.
Okay.
26.
26. Okay. Give me a second. Okay. In which case, then, yeah, you manage to get hold of Grizzop and you manage to coordinate yourselves in such a way that you can act as you see fit. What are you doing?
Bow out and discreet for me and knocked. I'm trying to keep it down so people aren't like, it's got a gun or a bow.
I mean, her motto is stab first and ask questions later. So that's literally what she's going to do.
I'm covering her approach, and if the thing tries to make like any move or run away, I'm going to shoot it in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what she's going to do.
So you make your approach.
Yep. This is the first time in her life she's had a chance to directly attack something of Barrett's.
You make your approach
she's
and
she's probably going to take penalties for being stressed as heck.
Good save.
Yeah.
You make your approach
and
the figure is very much looking straight at Saleh's window, not yourself. Sasha, you're making the approach. Grizzop, I'm assuming you're maintaining a bit more of a distance for the shot.
Yeah, I've got them covered, basically.
You've got her back, Jack.
Yeah.
Right. In which case, then, Sasha, give me a will save.
19.
Good.
Good. You approach. You reckon you've got the drop on them. You reckon you've properly got the drop on them. They haven't reacted. Their attention's 100% up, like, towards Saleh's window, not you. You manage to get immediately behind them with weapons drawn.
Mm-hmm. But...
Well, no, that's it.
Okay.
You're there.
Gonna sneak attack and
Grizzop.
Weigh the fire.
She's definitely got the drop on something or someone.
Okay, so I'm gonna, like, tighten the bowstring and, like, actually ready myself.
Sneak attack, if it's flat-footed, with a fire dagger.
Would you like to use both daggers or just the one?
Both, oops.
Then do it.
I'm so nervous.
See, this is the first time that Helen's seen this. What this is people who've clearly had an excellent GM and have learnt caution and have learned the benefits of withdrawing.
It's going to be some random servant. that's the twist.
So 5 plus 8 plus 3.
I've already done the illicit 16. Lover thing. So 16 attack.
16 on the first dagger.
And the second?
25.
The first one misses. There is an immediate... as the thing turns and looks towards you, your second attack hits. Roll me the damage.
Where's my d6s? I need several of them. Is it flat-footed at that point?
It is still flat-footed, yes.
Right.
So you get all of the d6s immediately out of the
gap. So you get a d4 from the knife, 3d6... sneak attack and 1d6
fire damage.
Yeah. Do you have everything you need?
So 16.
Normal. And then some fire.
And then
roll a d6
for
the fire.
1d6 of 4 of fire.
And
is that compared to the sort of damage that Bertie or I assume Azu would do in one thing?
It's pretty good. That's plenty of damage. 20 total. That's good.
So unless I'm mistaken, that's a total of 20, catching it flat-footed. You say that you did less. Bear in mind, you could have done that twice.
Yeah.
You rolled quite low on the first attack. Yeah. You could have gotten a flat 40, which no one else could physically match.
I suppose, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You...
Sorry, I realise I've kind of done this out of thing, but since I'm readied, once she connects and it makes a horrible screamy noise, can I then also just shoot it in the head? I know I didn't technically ready in action. But we didn't
go on, but I will punish you again later.
Weird.
I know, it's fine.
Keep that to your private time, boys.
Yeah. Right, so I'm going to, just do my full attack. Okay, so one of them's a natural 20.
Yep.
So that gives me a total of 32. And then the other one, so it's 8 plus 12, so that's a 20.
Those are both hits.
Okay, cool. And roll to confirm?
Yep.
Okay, so I rolled a 5. Plus 12, so 17.
That's a confirmed crit.
Okay, cool. So I just do the dice, right?
It's everything. It's just
so I plus my strength bonus each time?
Yeah.
As normal.
Okay.
It's just the worst. From my perspective, it's just the worst.
So that is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 on the critical, and then another 3 on the other attack.
So that's a 15 total?
Yeah.
Is this going to be like your poor Byron sister, where you made this beautiful character and then it was dead before it could react?
No, you see. Not learning from your mistakes, that's an unforgivable sin.
Right, okay.
So, the first attack, you sink it in and it just hits where there should have been human and there wasn't. There's the echoing absence of human on one of your daggers. However, the second dagger you bury right between the shoulder blades. If this thing is wearing a real cloak, there's got to be something there. And you bury it right in. The dagger goes right up to the hilt, and you see flame beginning to catch on the actual cloak itself. The creature gives another eldritch cry. It reaches. It can't actually reach towards you.
It's right there.
It's
just an itchy spot where my weirdly shaped arms can't reach.
But it does twist its head round, and at that exact moment, not the whole way. You know what? Yes,
okay.
The whole way. The cowl turns round.
Genuinely afraid.
And before you can see what is under the cowl, an arrow buries itself and throws the entire head backwards.
Oh, thank
and
goodness.
It gives another cry. Another It then is your turn. Can everyone please give me initiative? Because everyone will have heard the cry, no matter where you are.
Oh, another natural 20.
I got 19.
I'm all fine.
Okay, so that's a 19. So that's a 19 from Azu. Mm-hmm.
Is that total? You're adding your bonuses and stuff.
Oh, what's my? Where's my bonus?
Initiative there.
Oh. 18.
Good.
I got minus one initiative. Good. I don't know why. Why?
It's based on your dexterity.
It's based on how quick on the speed and how dexterous you are and how quickly you can get your stuff together and
the
massive pink glowing battle axe machine. It makes sense. Grizzle.
24.
Okay. Sasha?
15.
Okay. And Hamid?
20.
Okay, if you bear with me then, I'm going to write this out. Grizzop, you are up. Your arrow buried itself. This thing can apparently be harmed.
Cool. I'm going to do the same again, take another full attack.
Go for it.
Okay, so I rolled a 4 on 1, so, well, let's see. 14?
14, miss.
Okay, and then 28.
28, that's unsurprisingly a hit.
That's 3 damage.
Okay. In which case...
You're writing 2 digits.
In which case, Hamid, you are up. You are in a building.
So I've just wandered in to Salah's bedroom because I wanted to have this difficult conversation with him. So I'm like...
He looks up from where he's over the table, looks up, tear-stained, red-rimmed eyes.
Salah, I think there's something we need to...
echoing across the party.
I run to the window and lift it up, leaning out to see what's going on.
Oh, you lift it up, lean it out. You are basically have a clear shot of Sasha's buried her knife in someone, some cowled figure. Oh no, you know who that is. Grizzop has already been drawing and firing a second bow. The rest of the party seems to have been dropping to a still. No one has reacted yet. It's mostly just what is going on. Even the perimeter guards haven't reacted yet.
I'll say
you've used a move action.
Yeah. How far away is the creature?
I mean, if you were to leap from the window, I guess a move action.
No. How far away is the creature in feet from where I am?
I'd say it's 60 foot. What are you thinking?
Magic missile.
You have a glint. I don't like it.
I have the range of all my spells written on my sheet. Some of them work at very small ranges. Some of them work at much bigger ranges. I cast magic missile.
Magic missile. How many do you get, bearing in mind your level?
I believe I get 3.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Oh, it's like in Hearthstone.
yes, it is.
I cast Magic Missile, and from the window,
pew,
my,
pew, pew.
My 3 bolts of purple energy curve out and all inerringly hit for 2, 3, and 4 damage, respectively.
Hmm. That's 9. That's a total of 9.
Thank you, because I was still struggling with that.
So I then have to factor that into the damage that's already done, which makes things even more complicated. Okay. You do so. You hit it squarely 3 times over Sasha's shoulder. You may have picked this fight, but you're getting all of the support this time. It's lovely. People are doing what they should be.
It's probably quite emotionally meaningful.
And I believe that's you done, unless you want to spend anything else that you have kicking around.
No, that's my full action.
Azu. There's stuff afoot. Give me a perception check to figure out where the stuff is afoot.
What? Okay, I've not done very well in these so far, and I'm still not doing very well. That's a 7 at least.
But you've got your bonuses.
That's only a 13.
Still a lot better than 7. You have an idea of the general direction of where the stuff is afoot.
Well, of course I've run towards it, because
That's how paladins act.
That was definitely an evil scream.
And you drew your great axe, I think you just said, didn't you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, you're good at this, Helen.
Is there a window in the way that you can heroically leap through?
I'm outside.
I'd be happy for you to vault loads of tables on the way.
Deck tables.
Oh yeah.
Again, if they're halfling size, I can just jump.
Yeah, you know just what? Go through them.
You don't.
Who's jumping?
Crunch.
I'll be considerate.
That's fair.
And just soar over the heads of the assembled people.
You charge towards, and I'm not even going to get acrobatics checks because it's not really a vault so much as and step. But you manage to rush over to the correct sort of area of the gardens. You do see that is the foot that is a foot. However, you are 30 feet away.
Darn.
Oh, no. My throwing axe is only 10 foot.
So you've taken one move action, right?
Yep.
And there's a straight line?
Yes.
So there is an action you can do, which is charge, which is you move your move speed in a straight line and make
up
an attack
to its
at the
maximum,
end of it.
And you get one attack instead of your normal heffing great things. But it's good. However, it isn't applicable because there's like tables and detritus in the way. You can't just get the speed up, I'm afraid.
Strength check, just go through the tables.
Another furniture attacker.
I would allow you, if you want, to charge, and if you give a strength check, plow through everything in between.
It's a moral quandary. You can attack, but then you could do criminal damage.
You could just get there without attacking. Those are your two options.
Would you like to get there attacking and trash the party? And just roll a check to see how badly. Or would you like to get there without trashing the party but not get your attack?
And how would your character react very quickly in the moment?
She's just going straight through the tables.
Yeah. Okay, give me the strength check.
All right.
High is bad for you on this one.
Oh, no!
Nat 20.
Okay.
What's your total?
That is 10 plus this one.
Yep.
13.
Okay, you don't completely destroy the party.
Hooray!
Yay!
So you charge through and you just trash a bunch of tables, but you don't trash them so hard that they fly into other tables and set off a cascade.
Okay, so there's just a minor route of damage.
Yeah, you beeline straight towards the creature. You find yourself beside Sasha. Would you like to roll your mahoosive attack?
Yes, I would like to use my ominous great axe to hit it in what I think is its head.
I will, for everyone's benefit, also read out the ominous quality.
Yes. It's mechanically ominous. Yeah, capital O. There's a lot of things in this where, like, particularly Bryn would describe something and it would obviously mean something. It's like, oh no, okay, you mean mechanically sleepy.
Are you ready for the best weapon description ever?
Yes.
Bearing in mind, this is glowing pink, and the word pink can be applied to basically every sentence.
Yep.
An ominous weapon trails a shadowy pink haze behind every stroke and moans a menacing pink dirge in battle. It adds its enhancement bonus on intimidate checks made by the wielder, and when it confirms a critical hit, the target is automatically shaken for a minute unless they succeed a will save.
Question. Since this is Aphrodite, what kind of moan is being emitted?
Is it the thing from the Hercules cartoon show, which is Aphrodite, 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 the goddess of love?
This is entirely Helen's decision.
I would like that, but like a moan, sexy moan, scary moan, sad moan.
I mean, why not all three of them?
Whingy moan. There's so many kinds of moans.
I don't know, but it's also supposed to be for, like, battle, so I'd like it to... It's going to have to be an ominous but beautiful moan.
Mm.
So it's sort of like... Oh,
bang!
Yes!
Outstanding.
And, there's a bunch more. If you get a critical, that shaken, completely awfuled is even worse. So long story short, it's brilliant.
Okay, all right.
Mate, we had the fun bit of the description.
Yeah,
don't worry about the mechanics.
Yeah.
That's your job.
So now...
All you got to do is hit the thing.
Okay. No pressure. First, D20, right?
Yep.
You're only getting a single attack.
So yeah.
That's fine. 12.
Plus your attack bonus.
So you find your weapon, and then you apply that number there.
Okay, so that is 22.
And plus 2 for charging.
Yep. So what we have added there for your benefit, Helen, is you rolled your d20,
uh-huh.
You added your attack bonus, which is nice and high because it's a magical weapon.
Yes.
And you added your strength to hit, and then because you charge straight at the thing, you get a bonus.
Okay.
You get a hit.
Okay, so now I need to roll 1d12 plus 6.
Yep.
And I'm going to find out whether the incredibly horrifying, terrifying creature is more scared of you than you are of it.
Oh no, it's just a spider. 12.
18 damage.
I have to find out quickly whether it's also completely terrified of you. This isn't how this was meant to go. I learned the lesson and I didn't learn it enough.
This one they'll never be able to take down.
So that's just in look, bearing in mind that a round is 6 seconds, in the last like 10 or so seconds, it's been shot by 3 arrows, stabbed by fire,
hit by three magical bolts, and then whacked by a screaming greatsword.
How much did your screaming singing great axe
do? Oh, great axe.
18
damage. Oh, come on!
Is he only... Wait, listen, listeners. I think that was... Did he only scribble a single figure?
He's counting up.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's a good trick so the players don't know how much hit point
he has. I just count the number of figures that he's writing. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I was worried for a while because I was like, wait, is it like getting better the more we hit him?
No.
That would be very spooky.
Yeah.
Creature's still alive.
Yeah. Well.
Is it terrified?
It's not terrified.
Damn.
It's not terrified. Oh, crunch! So, when you... Let's say, for flavour, you come at this completely overhanded, straight down.
Oh, yes.
You plough it down into where the head should split like a melon. The cloak sort of caves in on itself, but it doesn't collapse. You definitely cut through a bunch of the cloak, and it sort of caves in on itself, and a rather large number of tentacles flail out from every single orifice.
That was unexpected.
Sasha screams at it. Why has Barrett sent you? Why are you always here?
Would you like to attack?
Then stabs it again.
Go for it. remember to use both of your attacks.
Yes, and because Azu charged in, you're flanking again.
Yeah,
correct. Yay! You still get all of your
because Hammond and I weren't letting you flank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is painful.
I think this is going to be a bonding moment.
Oh, we're working well as a team.
Stop bonding against me.
This is a team exercise. This is like paintball.
So I got a natural one.
Oh. Okay.
And the other one is... it's 22.
One of them hits. It'll be the fire one that hits again. Mm-hmm. However, the miss, you stab at, the entire thing warps in a completely impossible shape as just... It may not even have a central body to it. Mm-hmm. It may actually just be a mass of tentacles. The cloak flails
always
around.
Always with the tentacles!
Is everything you make based on an otyug?
No, interestingly enough. I roll with what I find.
I mean, this might be the loudest that you've ever heard Sasha yell, because she doesn't usually...
It successfully, for flavour, because I have to have something, manages to disarm the knife that you missed with on your natural one.
Oh, my magic knife! I only
managed to just on the floor.
It just...
You can pick it up later after this thing is dead.
This is even more distressing!
It just flings it away from you, but roll the attack, remembering your sneak attack damage as well. Why did I let you have sneak attack damage?
Because rogues.
There's not much point without them.
It is very much within your power to kill this thing before it has acted.
Okay.
Ooh, that's some good rolls.
So that's 11, 12, 13, 14...
Why do you do these things to
15,
me?
16.
16 normal damage.
And then...
normal damage.
And then...
16 normal damage and one fire damage.
Alex has closed the laptop with the rules on it.
I'll just put that away.
So that's 16 damage plus one fire.
So that's a total of...
17.
Which I'll just add to this total.
Screw you, Barrett.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the creature took 82 total damage before it was able to act. that's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should have been better on its initiative roll, mate.
I'll allow you to have the flavour for the final, objectively killing, not unconsciousing, blow.
It just keeps hacking at me. Why? Why? Everywhere I go, this isn't about you. Stab! Stab!
This party is now serving deep-fried squids.
You tell him how little he matters!
And we'll end the episode there.
Good teamwork, everybody!
Fold into an alternate dimension.
I hate all of you.
Hello, darkness, here's old friend.
Right, well, we'll end the episode then, and I will make another boss, and it will be brilliant, and
then we'll kill it
kill you all!
Yeah.
It'll kill you all! Bye, guys!
Bye!
Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill. or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. Games!
I'm Danny Dyer!
I'm Danny Dyer!
That's how he sounds.
This is a gaming show full of games. Games. Bloody love games.
It's Ray Winstone. Yeah. Ray Winstone's gaming hour.
I'm Ryan Blessed and I roll dice.
A rather large number of tentacles flail out from every single orifice.
That was unexpected.
It's an octopus in a dress! Oh my gosh, it's a wizard from Goblin Quest!
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.